Hey, listen, before we get into the message this morning, I had a great class 101 last week. Went really, really well. I know Sandy is here somewhere. Sandy Pritz, where are you? Right there she is. Everybody look, she's waving. Wave at everybody, wave at Sandy. Sandy, it was neat having her in class. She obviously just loves the Lord and has served him, and she wants to officially become a member of First Church. So all it takes is for her desire and for us to say welcome. So welcome, Sandy, very much. And yep. Make sure that you see her afterward and let her know what a how happy you are that she is here. Well, we've been looking at this question of how you can stand firm for God. You know, it's a really interesting topic through the book of Daniel, how you can stand firm for God, because there's an awful lot of times that, you know, we just need him. And the entire book of Daniel, you know, you have Daniel and his friends who were taken into exile, and you know, and even though that they have this tremendous burden, they stand firm in their love for God. It's unbelievable. And then you got the whole, you know, the fiery furnace, and the guys are thrown into the fiery furnace, and they don't bow and they don't bend and they didn't burn. You know, you remember that great story? They were firm. You got Daniel and his dealings with all these different kings, you know, and over these multiple kings that came into power, Daniel was just this man that stood above men. Unbelievable. You know, and then today we're going to be looking at another whole story. Last week it was the Daniel in the lion's den. Standing firm for God. I don't know if I ever told you this story. You know, sometimes we just need him. Years ago, one of the things I really love to do in the spring is to wade in the rivers of Pennsylvania fishing. You know, I like to just get in the water, wading and just fishing and catch, you know, these smallmouth bass. Matter of fact, I've caught several smallmouth bass that were that big. I'm not kidding. They were that big. And you know, the springtime and the summertime, and when in the spring the water's still kind of cold, you need to wear waders. And I had this one pair of waders. They were actually chest waders. They were up to here. And I was fishing in the river. Actually, it wasn't here. It was down in Virginia, and it was where the James River began. You had the cow pasture and the Jackson River come together, and right there near my in-laws is actually where the James River, the one that goes into Chesapeake Bay, Jamestown, that area, that's where it starts, right there. And that's where I was fishing. Springtime, had these waders on, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but those of you that fish, you'll appreciate this. You know, when you're fishing, you always see a spot. Ooh, I bet there's a big one right over there at that tree, or right over there at that rock. Or man, right over there is a perfect spot. And you try to wade and get to those places. Well, you know, you're wading. I was by myself. And by the way, don't try this at home. I don't recommend this. So let me just give that disclaimer. But I was trying to get across the river because of this perfect spot that I saw. And as I was going across the river, my waders were like this, and the water was coming up, and I'm like tiptoeing, you know. Because you know what happens if the water goes in the waders? You become concrete. Okay? And I had my fishing pole in my mouth, okay, and I was wading across the river, and I made it. And I got over to this one spot. I was getting over to this one spot that I just knew there was gonna be a big one. And I found out later that where the rivers come together, right there where that confluence happens, there's usually a deposit of all kinds of silt. Well, I didn't know that then. And I stepped into an area that was just, you know, like quicksand. It was like just mud and old leaves and just all kinds of messiness. And I stepped, and I was going down, and I went down into the water, and the last minute I dropped everything I had, and I reached up and I grabbed the only limb that was there. And I pulled myself up out of that river. I sat down on the bank, and I said to myself, John, you just about bought the farm. Well, you just about bought the river. Okay, I'm thinking they're going to find me when the springtime comes next year and the water level goes down. Isn't that a skeleton sticking up out of the edge over there? I mean, I almost died. I really did. I remember sitting down on the edge of the bank and thinking, wow, you know, that was. And I'm looking up and I begin to thank God for that small limb. It was the only one. And I'm thinking, you know what? If that little limb wasn't there, I wouldn't be here. You know, I think Daniel's life teaches us there's times in life where we realize that when God becomes everything we want, That's when he becomes everything we need. I mean, when our central focus becomes on him, when we know that he's the only one that can provide us salvation, that can give us strength, that can help us through any situation in life, when God becomes the only thing we want, that's when he can be the only thing that we need. You know, we've been looking at this for 4 weeks now, how Daniel's story teaches us to stand out for God. You know, Daniel and his friends, they just lived such exemplary lives. They took such good care of themselves that their life, their both physical and emotional and even spiritual, that it stood out to the people around them, and they stood out for God. They stood up for God, that they did not bow, they did not break, they did not bend, and they did what was right in the eyes of God. Last week we talked to you about Daniel in the lion's den and how Daniel, he stood for what really matters most. And his life was an example of that. Today I want to add to this idea of standing in. Particularly standing in our faith. Now think about this for a moment. Daniel lived. How would you finish that phrase? Daniel lived a good life. Daniel lived the kind of life that was an example to all. Maybe you don't need to add anything to it really, just Daniel lived in faith. You see, there's this story in the book of Daniel, and it takes place in chapter 10. Now let me give you a little bit of background about chapter 10. In chapter 10, Daniel is an old man. Daniel has served multiple kings. Daniel has gone through everything that we've read up until this point. It was so neat. A lady told me after first service, she said, "Pastor John, as we've been teaching this here at First Church," she said, "I've been reading the book of Daniel along with that, the whole thing, and I've read it over and over and over again." She said, what a tremendous story. You know, he and they lived exemplary lives. They overcame the fiery furnace. Daniel had vision after vision and worked and served the kings faithfully, but yet stood up for God. And Daniel overcame the lion's den, and God shut the lion's mouth, and it caused people to give honor and glory to Daniel's God, to Yahweh. And then in Daniel chapter 10, he's an old man. He's an old man. And we begin to think and wonder what enabled Daniel to stand the way that he did. I don't know about you folks, but I want to be an old man who's still standing faithfully for God. Don't you? Don't you want to be an old woman standing faithfully for God? The same lady told me that she was talking to her granddaughter, and her granddaughter was asking her about age and everything, and she asked her grandmother, said, "Grandma, what age would you like to be?" And the grandma said, "Well, you know, 20 sounds good." And the little girl looked at her and said, "Well, that ship has sailed." But you know, when that day comes, don't you want to be the kind of person that there's no question of who you believe in and how you've lived your life and what you've done? You see, that's Daniel. Daniel chapter 10 is really interesting because it starts out talking about this fast that Daniel goes through. There's a term, Christophany. Now let me tell you what that, there's your big word that you can share with your friends. There's something here that's called Christophany. And what it is this understanding and belief that Jesus Christ lived in a body in the New Testament. That God came to earth and Jesus lived a sinless life, and he died for your sins and mine. But the Gospel of John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is part of the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity. He's always been. And there's times in the Old Testament where we see somebody comes on the scene and you wonder, who is this person? And this is one of those times that they think that this person that appears to Daniel is none other than Jesus in the Old Testament. And I agree with them. Christophany. And what we have here is this beautiful passage where Daniel kind of describes in this ongoing story of how he came to be an old man and still be faithful. See, here's the thing. We know how we become an old man, right? Just wait. But all of us don't know how we become an old man and still be faithful and still standing firm in our faith in God. Let me show you. Let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 10 in verse number 5. Look at what it says. He says, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, Christophany. A lot of people think this is Jesus. He's dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice sounded like the sound of a multitude. He says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but much terror overwhelmed them, and they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. Here's the thing, folks. When I read that, you know what jumps out at me? You know, there's sometimes that God has something just for you. You know, like me standing on the sitting on the banks of that river, and I realized, you know how I was close to being through here. Thank you, God, for that little limb. You know, sometimes God has something just for you, something that others don't understand, maybe something that others don't see, but that God wants to use something in your life to move you, to show you something, to teach you something. And others, you know, think about it. There's some of you here this morning, you're seeking God. You're wanting God to speak to you. You're wanting to hear from Him. You're wanting to have this kind of experience with God. And there's others of you here that are just waiting to go out to eat. You know, which is it? And what are we looking for in this time with God? Look at the second part of this. That verse is through 8:1. Look at the second part of verse number 8 and verse number 9. Daniel continues. He said, I had no strength left. My face turned suddenly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. My face to the ground. You see, folks, there's times in life when the strongest of men, and they can't bear the weight of the glory of God. There's sometimes in a woman's life when something happens, when God shows them something, when they experience grief or joy in such a way that the only thing that they can do is to stop and to fall on their knees. And that's exactly what Daniel did. He said, my face hit the ground. Think about it, folks. What did he experience when this happened? I think what happened was is that his life went back, his mind went back to all the things that has transpired up until this point, all the things that God had done. Daniel 8 was able to always remember. Daniel was able to never forget. You see, one of the toughest things when you get old, and I hear this from people a lot, and I feel this way myself, you know, you never want to get old and lose your ability to remember, to think, to be aware of the people that are around you. So I think what happens here is that Daniel is teaching us that there's some things that we should always remember. There's some things that we should never forget. Now look at this, folks, because I think this is what enabled Daniel to get to this point in his life and enabled him to stand. Here's the first thing. He never forgot. He always remembered how much God cared for him. You see, folks, there's some of you here this morning, and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't have to convince you that God loves you and that God cares for you because you believe it, you understand it, and you've accepted it. But you know what? I know in a crowd this large, there's some people here, there's some people here, there's some people here, there's some people here that have a hard time accepting this. You know, you're here this morning, some of you, and you're thinking, you know what? Convince me that God cares. You're not so sure. Your life has been such that you feel that it's taught you otherwise. Think about Daniel, folks. He was able to stand firm and to stand up because that's what he'd always done. And there wasn't a time in his life that he was not convinced that God did not care for him. Think about it. Young man taken into exile. God, do you care about me? He rose to great heights. You know, the whole situation with his friends and the fiery furnace? God, I know God cares. You know, when he had all this opposition in service to the king, God, do you care? He's thrown into the lion's den. God, do you care? He always knew that God cared for him. You know what? I don't know if you do this kind of things, but I'm sitting on the bank thinking that I almost just died. I pulled myself up out of the river by that little branch. I'm thanking God for that little branch. And the old hymn came to my mind. From sinking sand, he lifted me with tender hand, right? Do you remember singing that old song? Maybe you've not been around church long enough to remember that old song. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. You see, Daniel knew that song too. Why? Because he knew that he was precious to God. He knew that God cared about him. You know, this came to my mind just this past week. FaceTime on our phones. Do you have this? Where we can talk to our kids and, you know, and Sarah, you know, I get to see my grandson Jack and Sarah called me a couple days ago and I looked down, you know, and it says Sarah FaceTime. Isn't it amazing how, you know, you can get a call from somebody or something. It's like, I'll take that later. Never do that with Jack, right? I just don't. I'm never too busy. So I am, you know, and here he pops up and he says, hey, Pappy. And I said, hey, Jack, how are you? And then Sarah tells me this story, how they had called the other grandparents, okay, Mark, the father of the boy, Jack and Sarah had called Mark's parents in Florida, and Jack was talking to his Nana, his grandmother in Florida, and he said to her on FaceTime, call Pappy. Okay, I'm Pappy, all right? The other grandfather's called something else. And you know, for the life of me, when she told me that, it was like, I was just so happy that he said that to the other grandfather. I'm sorry, I know that's not right. I shouldn't think things like that. But you know, it was just this moment, it's like, that's awesome, Jack, do it again. Why? Because that little guy, I mean, he's just precious. You're that precious to God. God loves you, cares for you more than you can ever imagine. And not only does God love you, he likes you. He loves all of us and he likes you. You imagine that? You know, it's easy in life to say, you know what, I love everybody. Do you like everybody? It's hard, isn't it, sometimes? But God loves us. God likes us. And I want you to hear the voice of God the same way that Daniel heard the voice of God, and that he knows that God really does love him. Here, let me show it to you. Verse number 10. Look at this. This is an awesome passage of scripture. He continues. He says, a hand touched me, sent me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. You stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. There's the whole theme of this entire series that we've been teaching to you. He stood up. Why did he stand up? He stood up because God said to him through this blazing personality of a vision that you are highly esteemed. Now, maybe if you have another Bible here, there's other translations that says literally, you are precious to me. Because that's the message here that God is trying to get across to Daniel. He always remembered. He never forgot. That's why he could stand firm even at this old age. Here's a second thing, because there's another thing in this idea about always remembering, never forgetting. God really does care. And here's the thing. We also have to understand and never forget that God is working for you. That God is doing something in your life. That God is doing more than you ever understood or ever understand. You see, that's what Daniel's life teaches us. That's what this book teaches us. We're thrown into exile, God's doing something more. We're thrown into a fiery furnace, God's doing something more. We're opposed in a relationship with the king, God's got something else in mind. We're thrown into the lion's den, God's got something else in mind. See, God always is working, even if we don't think he is. Now, there's a great illustration of this in the story of Daniel. Let me show it to you. It starts in verse number 12, the same chapter. He says in verse number 12, he said, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Isn't that amazing? He says, listen, you started praying, and when you started praying, that's why I'm here. I come in response to the prayers that you have prayed. He says also, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now think about it, folks. If you talk to people that have been praying a long time, and they have faith in God like Daniel had faith in God. You ask them, is God doing something? What are they going to say? They're going to say, absolutely. Well, has he answered your prayer? Well, God's still doing something. You see, people of faith, people that have a great faith in God, they know this. Sometimes we are so faithful to God, we pray so diligently, we pray so much that people that know us and know what we're praying about think we're a little bit crazy. God hadn't done anything, and you're still calling out to him. God has never answered your prayer, but you're still calling out to him. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people and talked to people that finally come to know Christ in a beautiful way. And it's because people have been praying for him for years or even decades. You see, folks, people that have this kind of faith, the kind of faith here that Daniel has and is talking about, they know that God is doing something. They know that God is working. Now, let me show you something that's really interesting in this passage, because there's two things here. The first part of this is simply him saying, you know what? Ever since you set in your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've never come in response to them. Later on in this passage, look at what he says. He says, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days, and then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now, here's the point, folks. How long had Daniel been praying? How long had Daniel been praying? Or more specifically, when did Daniel start praying? Think about it, okay? 21 days. He's been opposed for this period of time. This person comes to give him strength during this time and says, I'm here in response to your prayers, to your humbly seeking God. Because you've called out to him is why I'm here, to give you strength and to give you help. Well, when did he start praying? He didn't just start praying in that 21 days. He had been praying and seeking God for a lifetime. And to some people, it probably looked like that God wasn't doing anything. But God is always doing more than we understand. And that even though it may seem to an unbeliever that God is silent in the heart of a believer, they know, they realize that God is doing something, that God is working something out. But folks, listen, we stand because we understand that faithfulness to Him for a lifetime is what gives us hope and strength in moments of trial and tribulation. So, think about it. Here's the thing. Don't ever forget that God cares. Always remember that God loves you. Always remember that God is working. Never forget that God is doing something. Even when people don't think He's doing anything, that God is doing something. And here's the third thing that I think Daniel's life teaches us. He teaches us that we need to realize and understand this idea about strength and weakness. Of when are we strong? And how are we strong? And that we're strongest when we realize how weak we are. You know, that's the paradox of the Christian faith, that the first will become last. To gain strength, we surrender ourselves. And this idea of being strong is not necessarily strong in our own strength and our own abilities, but our strength comes from our understanding of how weak we are and how much we depend on God. You think about it. Every situation in the book of Daniel, it is not Daniel. It's not his three friends. It's not any of these folks that were faithful to God that brought anything triumphant and good out of it. It was God working in their situation. It was God doing it. They were strong because they were weak and they depended on God. And that, my friends, is how we are strong. You see, this idea of understanding and appreciating. And the whole point is that until you understand understand your weakness, you won't appreciate God's strength. You know, I'm walking on the edge of a river and I'm not smart enough to know that there's something dangerous there. And I am weak and I get myself in these situations and all of a sudden you just appreciate how God with his strong arm reaches down and pulls you out of those situations in life. Let me show it to you here. This passage is so beautiful. In verse 17 through 19 of Daniel 10. Look at what it says. He said, "How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can barely breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid. You are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" Notice the difference here in the first part of this verse and the last part of this verse. The first part of this verse, Daniel is saying, "Listen, my strength is gone. I have no strength." He says, "I can hardly breathe. But then you touched me." This one. Look at what he says. "It's this one who looked like a man." It's Jesus. I believe it. "He touched me. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I say, Lord, you have given me strength." Until you understand your weakness, you won't appreciate God's strength. So my final question to you this morning is, how are you doing in this? How are you doing in this? Because let me just tell you, folks, from the bottom of my heart, if you want to stand, Daniel teaches us that we need to make sure that we're standing. I mean, does that make sense? Maybe it doesn't make sense to all of you here this morning. If you want to stand, you want to make sure you're standing. In other words, if you want to stand up, if you want to stand for, if you want to stand in your faith in God, in whatever circumstance is coming your way, you're taken into exile, you're thrown into a fiery furnace, you're opposed by people that are trying to destroy you, you're put in a lion's den, or you have a You have a vision like this late in life and you're just wore out. If you want to stand when those things happen, Daniel teaches us that the way that we stand is to make sure that we're standing. Did you ever notice that in the beginning of the book of Daniel, who is he? He's a young man who is seen as a beautiful specimen of a human being. And he stood out because of the morality and the ethics and the faithfulness and the strength of a young man. And who is he in chapter 10? He's an old man. Served many kings. But he always remembers and he never forgets what God has done for him. So one last time, he's able to stand. Why? Because he's always stood. And he's still standing. Here's the thing that I think is most beautiful about the book of Daniel. Most people believe, and I agree, that Daniel, a lot of Daniel is about present day and future prophecies. In other words, Daniel prophesied about things in the life of the kings that he served that had a lot to say about today and about tomorrow and about the future and what God is going to do. And I think the most beautiful thing that is prophetic about the book of Daniel is your need and my need to be faithful and to stand strong, not just in a moment, but for an entire life. Let's be that kind of faithful follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I know that there's so many people in this room this morning that always remember. They never forget that you really do care. God, there's people here this morning that always remember, they never forget that you are working in their lives, even when it doesn't even appear so to those around us. God, this room is full of people who always remember, who never forget that they are strongest when they understand their weakness. But God, there's also a lot of us here today, and maybe all of us at one time or another, when, Lord, we fall so short of the overall meaning of this passage. That, Lord, we want to be strong, we want to be faithful, we want to get to the end of our days and be seen as a person who has been faithful forever. But God, just convince us today that we can be that, even if we've not been that, Lord, that we can be that from today and the rest of our days. So, Lord, I pray that all around this room this morning that there will be people that will experience you in the same way that Daniel experienced you here. That, God, they'll see this marvelous person come into their mind, come into their heart, and give them strength and help and hope. And they'll recognize, Lord, that it is you and that you desire for them so very, very much. So God, may the things that inspired him and strengthened him inspire and strengthen us as well, both today and every day. And Lord, as we sing this awesome song about standing, about remaining strong, God, when we make those commitments all across this room to you to be that kind of person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.